Odesh Tov, and welcome to the Daily International OU Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's call on Yom Revi'i, Rosh Chodesh Menachem of the first day of the month of Av. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the OU Today daily email. If you'd like to sponsor future calls, we appreciate the support. Please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. The deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's email is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce Rabbi Daniel Tosila of the Westwood Village Synagogue in Los Angeles, California, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Tosila slowly reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf, Chaf Zayin, and Kuf Lamed. They're chapters 20, 27, and 130, followed by the Mishnah Berach L'Cholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Tosila to learn more about his community. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Tosila.
Good morning, everyone. It's a great honor to be here, and thank you, Rabbi Herman, and to everyone, and Chodesh Tov and Borach should be a good month. So Rosh Chodesh Av is a very, very unique launching of a month. It's Rosh Chodesh. On one hand, we celebrate and said Hallel this morning, reciting psalms of praise and thanks for the beginning of a new month. At the same time, it's the month that's described as Mishnichnas Av Mema'atin B'Simcha. When we begin the month of Av, we decrease our a measure of joy. It's not a happy period, these 9 days. An interesting dimension to Rosh Chodesh is customary never to fast on Rosh Chodesh, yet the Shulchan Aruch, the most authoritative code of Jewish law, records a tradition that it was a fast day. There were certain days upon which it's customary to fast, and this one, even though it's Rosh Chodesh, it's customary, according to some, to fast. And it says specifically that these fast days that it lists are fast days where sarot iru la'avotenu, there were terrible things that happened to our ancestors, v'ra'ui litanot. And why is this a fast day, according to the Shulchan Aruch? Because the Torah indeed tells us that on the first of Av, Rosh Chodesh Av, met Aharon HaKohen. Aharon, the high priest, Moshe's brother, died on this date. Now, what's interesting is that the Torah generally does not list yahrzeits, dates of death. There are others that we know that certain people died on certain dates. That's because of calculations we make with the calendar and the Torah and the verses itself. But Aharon HaKohen is the only person in the entire Torah whose yahrzeit is listed, on that he died on the first day of the fourth month, and that is indeed Rosh Chodesh Av. Now, why would that be a tragedy, his death, that's even worthy of a fast? We know Aharon was the first high priest, the first Kohen. He was deeply spiritual and connected on a daily basis to devotion and worship of God. In the morning and in the afternoon, he brought the sacrifices. He brought the korbanot. But the Torah has a larger tradition about him, the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law. And they ask us, what did Aharon do between Shachrit and Mincha? What did he spend his time doing between the morning and the afternoon? We know that there's a beautiful tradition that Aharon HaKohen was an Ohev Shalom Verodef Shalom. He was a lover of peace and a pursuer of peace. Ohev et Abriot, a lover of people, Umekarvan LaTorah, and brought them closer to Torah. He was the peacemaker in the community. On one hand, he was a deeply spiritual individual. He spent every morning and afternoon, all day on Yom Kippur, he was the one that brought the community closer to God through the Korbanot in the temple, in the Mishkan. But when it came time to leave the Mishkan after the morning services, he went and he spent his time with people. He was the peacemaker in the community. And when he died, the day he died, the Talmud teaches us, that the protective clouds of glory that were above us, the Anane HaKavod, disappeared. It's almost like we lost our security. We felt as if that which kept our community together was gone, and it was such a tragedy that it tells us that when he died, different than his brother Moshe, when Moshe died, it tells us, Vayivku b'nei Israel, and the children of Israel cried for 30 days. Here it says, Vayivku kol bet Israel, the whole house of Israel. And Rashi says, why did the whole house of Israel cry here, even more than Moshe, the great Navi? Because it said, who was Aharon? He was a lover of people, and therefore the women, the children, everybody cried. Everybody felt the loss. Moshe was Moshe Isha Elohim. He was the man of God who spent most of his time communicating with God. Aharon was the people person. And when we lost him, there's a very beautiful tradition that tells us that actually Tisha B'Av, the real Chorban that we observe in 9 days, the fast day of the destruction of the temple, the Chorban began today. Because when we lose, an individual is able to bring peace. Why was the temple destroyed, the second temple? Because of Sinat Chinam, because we were divided, because we could not respect one another. And when we lost the person who kept the balance in the community, that was already considered the beginning of the Chorban, the beginning of the destruction, a tragic moment, which the Shulchan Aruch even says, it is ra'ui litanot, it's appropriate to fast today for the loss of Aharon HaKohen. During these 9 days, we look inward and we ask ourselves, what could we do, like the Rambam says, to improve our lives and to improve the quality of being Jewish and of the Jewish people? How could we avoid another destruction? How could we bring the Beit HaMikdash back and bring in Mashiach and rebuild the temple? To do tshuva, not only during the month of Elul, during these 9 days. And when we look to role models who can inspire us on what to do outside of shul, outside of davening in the morning and the afternoon, we look to one person, Aharon, who was the role model of how to daven, because he was chosen to observe, to lead the most important tefillot of the time, the korbanot, in the Mishkan. He was the individual who did that Torah. And that same individual is not only a role model in shul, but he's the role model on how to behave at home and in the street and with our friends, to be a lover of peace and a pursuer of peace. It's this time during this week, starting on Rosh Chodesh Av, if we want to observe the Yahrzeit of Aharon, it's not only by fasting, but it's also by emulating him and looking up to him. And therefore, we hope and pray that during this period of time, during these 9 days leading to Tisha B'Av, we are able to imitate and be students, like Hillel says, of Aharon HaKohen. Heve mital midav shel Aharon. We should be students of his. We should all be lovers of peace and pursuers of peace and bring peace and shalom to our community so that we can have the zchut of one day seeing the spirit of Aharon back in our community and the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash and bringing peace for us, for our communities, and for the whole world. I will thank you, everyone. I will now recite three psalms, the three daily Kehillim. I'm going to begin first by reciting Psalm 20, Tehillim Kach. Lam natzeach mizmor David, yan chadunai b'yom tzava, yisagve Hashem Elohe Yaakov, yishlach Ezrecha mikodesh, umitzion yisadeka, yisko kol minchotecha, veolatecha yedash nesela, yiten lecha kilvavecha, vechol atzatcha yemale, neranena bishuatecha, uvshem Eloheinu nidgol, Yemale Adonai, O Mishalotecha, Ata Yadati, Kioshia Adonai Meshicho, Yaneu Mishme Kocho, Yigvot Yeshayimino,
אלה ברכב ואלה בסוסים, ואנחנו בשם אדוני אלוהינו נזכיר. הם קמו ונפלו, ואנחנו קמנו, ונתעודד. אדוני הושיע, המלך יעננו ביום קוראינו.
I'll now be reciting Psalm 27, Tehillim Kaf Zayin.
לדוד, אדוני אורי ואישי ממאירה, אדוני מעוז חיי ממי אחד, בקרוב עלי מרעים לאכול את בשרי, צרי ואויבי לי, הם קשלו ונפלו, אם תחנה עלי מחנה, לא ירא ליבי, אם תקום עלי מלחמה, בזאת אני בוטח. אחת שאלתי מאת אדוני, אותה אבקש, שיקתי בבית אדוני כל ימי חיי, לחזות בנועם אדוני, לבקר בחלו. יצפנני לסוכו ביום רע, יסתירני בסתר אוהלו, בצור ירום ממני, ועתה ירום ראשי, על אויבי סביבותי, וזבחה באוהלו זבחי תרועה, אשירה וזמרה, לאדוני, שמע אדוני קולי יקרא, וחונני וענני, לך אמר ליבי בקשו פני, את פניך אדוני אבקש, אל תסתר פניך ממני, אל תעת ואף עבדך, עזרתי היית, אל תתשני ואל תעזבני, אלוהי אישי, כי אבי ואמי עזבוני, ואדוני יצפני, הורני אדוני דרכך, ונחני ברוח מישור, למען שורריי. אל תתנני בנפש צרי, כי קמו בי איזה שקר, יפה חמאס. למען תדירות בטוב אדוני, בארץ חיים. קווה אל אדוני, חזק ואמץ לבך, וקווה אל אדוני.
I'll now recite Psalm 130.
שיר המעלות ממעמקים, קראתיך אדוני, אדוני שמעה וקולי, תהיינה אוזניך קשובות לכל תחנוני. אם עוונות תשמריה, אדוני מי יעמוד, כי עמך סליחה למען תברא. קיוויתי אדוני קיוותה נפשי, ולדברו אוכלתי. נפשי לאדוני משומרים לבוקר, שומרים לבוקר. יחל ישראל אל אדוני, כי אם אדוני החסד והרבה מופדות, והוא יבדה את ישראל מכל עוונותיו.
I'm now going to recite the prayer for the Cholim, Misha Berach for the Cholim. מי שברך אבותינו אברהם יצחק ויעקב משה ואהרון דוד ושלמה ואת אמותינו שרה רבקה רחל ולאה הוא יברך וירפא את החולים ואת החולות בעבור שכל הקהל הקדוש הזה מתפללים בעבורם. בשכר זה הקדוש ברוך הוא ימלא רחמים עליהם, להחלימם ולרפותם ולהחזיקם ולהחיותם. וישלח להם מהרה רפואה שלמה מן השמיים. רפואת הנפש, רפואת הגוף, תוך שאר חולי ישראל. השתה בעגלה ובזמן קריב, ונאמר, Amen.
Achenu kol bet Yisrael. Achenu kol bet Yisrael. Hanetunim betzava, betzava uvechivya. עומדים בין בים ובין ביבשה. המקום ירחם, ירחם עליהם ויוציאם מצרה, מרווחה ומאפלה לאורה, משיבוד לגאולה השתה, בגלה ובזמן קריב. ונאמר אמן.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Buskila. As we segue into the next part of our call, how are you, your family, and your wonderful community doing?
Thank you. Thank God. Under the circumstances, we're doing well. My wife and I are here in Los Angeles. Our daughter lives in Manhattan, in New York, our daughter Shira, and our son Ilan actually just finished his two-year service in the IDF about 2 weeks ago, and he's in Israel. So it's been a little bit difficult to be separated from the kids and from our family on the East Coast, but otherwise, thank God, we're okay. We're in good health. Our community is fine. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Wow. We'll call a vote for your son. So for our listeners who may not be as familiar with your community, would it be possible to please provide us with a bit of a background of the shul, the Beit Knesset, and the community in general?
Sure. So it's a wonderful community, Westwood Village Synagogue. They've been around for about 20, I think almost 30 years. It's a modern Orthodox synagogue. We're in Los Angeles, but we're kind of in the outlying neighborhood. The main communities of Los Angeles today in terms of the Jewish community is the Pico Robertson neighborhood. That's where all the famous Young Israels and Jacobs and so on. We're in Westwood Village. So it's, not a far, it's maybe, a half an hour or 40-minute walk from the Pico area or a 10-minute drive, but on Shabbat, we're a smaller community, but it's a community that really distinguishes itself by loving to learn. It's a learned community. We have a lot of shiurim, classes, Torah, especially now with the whole Zoom thing. But every Shabbat, there's learning in the morning, learning in the evening. A lot of people are very dedicated to Torah study, dedicated to Israel, to Zionism, to the Jewish people, to charity. It's a community that I've known for many, many years. For about 27 years. I've been their rabbi for 2 years, and it's kind of a unique situation because very often you find Ashkenazi rabbis serving as rabbis of Sephardic synagogues. Not so commonly you find Sephardic rabbis like yours truly serving Ashkenazi communities. So that's been a very special experience as well, but it's a beautiful community.
Wow, unbelievable. So not too far of a walk, well, at least a little bit of a walk to the Pico Robinson area, but I'm sure in terms of a drive to get the Jets, if you need to get there for something good to eat, you're not too far.
No, not at all. Yeah, so it's all, you know, LA is a driving community, so everything's close by. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Right.
Yeah, especially the Jets.
We talked about different challenges and opportunities during this time, and many have been focused on growth and change and how the pandemic has forced or given us that opportunity to grow spiritually. Thinking about your own community, could you speak to perhaps areas of growth that you've seen over the past few months?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I think what's really interesting is to, as I mentioned, it's a community that loves to learn. But most of the time, for a lot of people, you know, life gets busy. And so we have our usual regulars that come to the shiurim and, you know, Shabbat afternoon, I do a shiur in my home and I get a wonderful crowd of people. And that's always wonderful. But I think ever since this pandemic, I've noticed, an increased, attendance. And I don't think it's simply because, well, I'm at home and I have nothing else to do. I think it's because people have been searching for meaning. I've noticed it's not simply people who log in because, you know, we're home, so why not, and it's easier. They've taken a deeper interest in what we're studying. There's a deeper meaning to what we're learning. I've even seen, you know, some of the regulars who come regularly, who participate, who have demonstrated an increased search for inner meaning. Always, no matter what, sometimes I try to teach material that takes our minds away from COVID-19 and the pandemic, and sometimes they always bring it back to those questions to make it relevant to what's going on in our lives right now. So I've seen that. I've also seen even the minyanim that we've done over Zoom, a very beautiful increased kavanah of tefillah. I actually taught a whole series of shiurim on the Rambam and Kavanah Tefillah, and I think people have taken Tefillah more seriously under these circumstances.
Well, you know, what you just said reminds me of Amos, Perakot, Pasuk Yud Aleph, you know, Hinei Yamim Bayimim Hashem, Elokim Mishlachti Rav Ba'aretz, B'lo Rabbah, and B'lo Mati L'mayim, Kiva Shemo Hetzibre Hashem, and that people are hungry and they're thirsty and they're looking for truth and they're looking for something real, and
yeah.
You know, unbelievable. We live in a time of Zoom and the technology that's available for us to even continue with, can't say without missing a beat, because we are missing things. There's no question about it.
Sure, definitely.
Undoubtedly, to still be able to reach people in ways that perhaps we weren't able to before. And that's a good segue for us. So where is your shul at this point in terms of the partial opening? Or are you back in the building? Are there minyanin happening? What's happening at the moment?
So it's interesting. No, we're not back in the building. We're having minyanim over Zoom, and obviously not on Shabbat. We just do, you know, Kabbalat Shabbat and Havdalah. We haven't met yet as a community. Although this week, last Friday, I actually officiated at a few weddings over the last few months. But Friday, unfortunately, I officiated at the first funeral. And we have had Shiva Minyanim. We're having another one tonight in somebody's backyard here in the community. And, of course, you know, our primary discussion right now, I mean, as much as we want to, you know, regather for Shabbat and maybe we're going to do something for Tisha B'Av, but our primary discussion and sort of plan of strategizing is what's going to be for the Yamim Noraim, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. How's that going to work? I've listened to the Shiurim and read the Piskal Achav of Rav Herschel Schechter, which has been very helpful during this time to see how it could be done, kind of a reduced, amount of piyutim and other things in order to have a couple of minyanim, because I think that's really the direction we're going in, to try to maybe have, you know, at different hours, different minyanim so that everybody could participate. And again, you know, we have elderly people. Challenging on Yom Kippur to be outdoors or on Shabbat. So we're blessed, I have to say, by the way, with on our board. We have some very, very talented doctors, one of them who's the head of the ER at St. John's UCLA. So we really get a lot of inside information. And I often say, people ask me, how do you handle things? I say, we're really a community in the spirit of the Rambam, that when it comes to medical, I mean, the Rambam was a blend in one. I'm not an MD. So in the spirit of the Rambam, when it comes to medical issues, of course, we listen to what all of our posts can say, but I defer, as the Rambam would probably teach us, to medical experts who really know what they're talking about, and that's how we make our decisions.
Wow. It sounds truly like an amazing, unbelievable community that's growth-oriented, learning Torah, and you're fortunate to have a good board and lay leadership as well that makes for a great dynamic for the success of a shul and a community. Rabbi Luskilo, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a brief picture of your wonderful community, as they are with all of Klal Yisrael and with the entire world. Our thoughts, our prayers, our tefillot are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all the collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all those in need will be answered, Latova. May the Rabboni Shel Olam, the Master of the World, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Thursday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, for Words of Inspiration, Rabbi Dov Foxbrunner of Congregation Beth Jacob in Atlanta, Georgia. This concludes today's call with hearts full of faith. Stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.